Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my forever partner in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, shalom to you too, my dear, and to all of tonight's listening audience.
What a week, huh?
For sure. And we do want to get right into that, of course, but first we must bless the Lord.
Abba, Father, God above all gods, we thank you for our salvation and your many blessings. We agape you, glorify you, and worship you alone. We pray for those who are called by your name for protection as these days appear ominous as we approach the rapture of your bride. We petition your blessing on tonight's program as we offer up to you our recent prayer requests and for the salvations of our loved ones. May these prayers be a sweet sound to your ears.
Thank you, Lord.
We also pray for your divine covering over President Trump, and may he help to fulfill your prophecies. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen, and glory to our God. We will be reviewing and continuing in Psalm 82. Hopefully, you were able to study it on your own during the week.
But first, a little news.
Yes, we all know that our president had a good week. His State of the Union address was stellar, even though Nancy Pelosi tore up his transcript for all to see at his conclusion.
Yeah. Did you find it odd he never mentioned his recent peace plan when pointing out his many accomplishments?
I know. He didn't mention it at the prayer breakfast either, at least not that I heard. So obviously, it probably just needs a lot of tweaking. But for the church's departure at this stage, it looks at least hopeful.
And more good news is our president was acquitted of both charges of the articles of impeachment,
which he happily bragged about, and then removed the two anti-Trump witnesses from working in the White House. And I just read yesterday that he cut 70 more Obama holdovers from the White House.
Yeah, I was wondering why he didn't do that 3 years ago.
Good question. Anyhow, now we'll watch and see if Congress can work with him or continue to come against him and waste anyone's time and taxpayer money again.
I do have my suspicions.
I think we all do.
Mm-hmm. The Democratic Iowa caucus was a debacle.
Oh, yes. And the New Hampshire primary results, though, should start coming out this very hour. But it is becoming very apparent that some year soon, hopefully not this year, a sodomite will rule from the White House.
Mayor Pete has a husband, so we call him the first lady or the first man. I don't know.
Let's just move on.
Yeah.
Because this nation is becoming very anti-Bible.
More confirmation that Jesus will be calling us up soon.
I hope so. Not only does Jesus compare the end of days like Sodom, you know, there's a very meaningful scripture, and I think maybe we should read that. It's in Jude, and it's around verse 7 and 8.
As there it is. Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal life.
Fire.
Fire. I did that last.
Yeah.
Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries.
We have to admit that America is their church.
Mm-hmm. By the way, since we're on that subject, you remember Tel Aviv is the gay capital of the world.
Yes, which is another reason Jacob's trouble is coming. And even more so is that Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu and even his opponent, Benny Gantz, told President Trump neither would have any problem giving the Palestinians their own sovereign state.
Explain what you mean by sovereign.
Okay, well, since the 1967 war when Israel took back Jerusalem, that land was once again legally their own. Therefore, it is called sovereign ownership, having total say in how it is used. But, to be nice, they allow the Palestinians to live in certain areas who still don't accept Israel's sovereignty and instead give it the label of an occupation. But Israel could eject them any time because Israel has sovereignty, although even the UN doesn't recognize it. It also calls them being in occupation.
Aren't they soon going to annex parts of Israel?
Yes, after March 2nd's election, Israel plans to annex some of its own settlements in the West Bank. So, to legally then never be pushed out, which means the international community, you know, the UN, even if they vote against Israel's annexation, it can be vetoed by the United States, which they had promised Israel we would do if they agreed with this new deal. A little bribery there. Anyway, these annexed areas would then be documented legal ownership, which secures Israel's sovereignty. Again, Israel feels they can do this because of Trump's backing outlined in the new agreement,
which no other U.S. president has committed to a veto.
I don't believe so. And Trump's plan would give Israel control over the Jordan Valley, too.
While offering the Palestinians their own state with sovereignty in some areas.
Yes, and that's the red line with God. Once Israel gives away any sovereignty of the land that God won back for them in 1967, would be the last straw, and Joel 3 would be fulfilled. That says, if you want to read it,
"For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land."
Divided, that's the key. Also in Ezekiel 36:5, God speaks of his burning jealousy against the nations who gave away his land as a possession to themselves. This fits also into our current teachings of how Israel is God's land for Abraham's descendants, Genesis 15:18, and the other nations, particularly in the Old Testament, are for the Gentiles, in the Old Testament for sure. Now, a stranger could come in, but would have to worship Yahweh and forsake all their other gods.
Yeah, you know, and some did.
Mm-hmm, right. And of course, under the new covenant, you and I are grafted into the root of our faith. And that is, of course, if you are part of the church, thanks to Jesus.
But don't give away any of his land that God specifically watches over to his enemy.
I know. And I just read this morning that the UN is pressing the Palestinians to negotiate. And why not? Much of this plan was drafted by them years ago in Resolution 223 and 338.
And there's another red line for God, right?
Oh, for sure. Israel will also go along with the one world religion. We know that by scripture, which brings in the false gods, certainly of Allah, and many of the Catholics who will be left behind, those that are left behind, will accept Allah as the same as our God and pray to saints as if they are intermediaries, which they are not.
Only Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5.
Anyhow, more on this in our next newsletter to include a map with the redrawn lines. All right, and we talked a lot about the coronavirus last week and have gathered more confirmation that China has been developing bioweapons in Wuhan that either leaked out by accident or intentionally or stolen by a demonic infiltrator. But now that the virus is out, well, it could be used against China's enemies just by sending an infected person anywhere, as in maybe Taiwan, who they hate ever since they left China back in the late 1940s.
Well, you know, they don't like Hong Kong either.
Oh, right. And we saw on Friday where the first American died in China. Now, at the very least, 40,000 are infected, and over 60 million people in China are under quarantine, with over 1,000 dead.
Yeah, there's probably more. They're just not reporting it.
It's funny you should say that, because Steve Bannon just the other day said that there was more like 50,000. And we are up to 13 known cases of corona here in America, with approximately 70 stuck on a cruise ship near Japan, I believe.
Well, if you have any questions or comments, our email is Sheila at chauffeurministry.net, or you can call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Love offerings are still needed more than ever and greatly appreciated, which automatically adds you to our mailing list for future newsletters and updates. You can also subscribe and donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all our past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning pleasure.
Okay, Psalm 82. Well, that can certainly open up a lot of discussion when you read it carefully.
Definitely the meat of the word.
We opened the discussion last week with a common sense question. Since we know God is eternal, thereby being around forever, well, isn't it likely that things were happening in the cosmos and where God's throne is probably way before Adam, since that was only about 6,000 years ago?
Well, when you put it that way, it does feel probable.
Mm. We also talked about the many scholars who believe that between verses 1 and 2 of Genesis 1, that much did occur where ultimately the earth was judged, made void and dark, and then recreated when God declared, "Let there be light."
And then on the sixth day, Adam was created.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And there is confirmation of a recreation, not just by the Dead Sea Scrolls, where we also found the Book of Enoch, but there is reference to what they term the gap theory in a vision of Jeremiah in chapter 4, verses 23 through 29, that basically uses the same phrase used in Genesis 1, verse 2, that says the earth was without form and void. Now, here's an important point and why we should study the words in Hebrew, because the Hebrew word for was is haya, which can also mean became without form and void.
So instead of was without form and void, it likely means the earth became without form and void.
Yes. And as confirmation in other scriptures, the Hebrew word haya is mostly translated became, as in Genesis 19:26, where Lot's wife became salt, and many other scriptures.
But everyone should do their own study on that.
For sure, because it is a dot connector. At least it was for us. So, with that said, there have been a few rebellions that began with the heavenly beings. And again, we talked about that last week.
And if you missed that teaching, we recommend you go to shofarministries.net, where all the programs are archived.
So, the bottom line is that God first created heavenly beings, or popularly termed angels, but there are different classes of angels with different functions, and one set of heavenly beings were called Elohim, or gods with a little g. However, Yahweh, of course, as the supreme being over them all.
Since he created them.
Right, which is why they are also called the sons of God.
As in Genesis 6.
Now, after man was created, those still loyal angels with the title of Elohim, and who God would counsel with, as we see in Psalm 82, were appointed by God then to watch over divided territories of 70 nations when God confused the language and dispersed the people for building the Tower of Babel to get closer to the rebellious false gods who lived in the second heaven and still do.
So that's the backdrop for us to understand what Psalm 82 is telling us.
Yes, and we had to hurry through it last time. So this week, let's take each verse and comment on it. Hopefully, we can look at some others for more confirmation, as in Psalm 89. We'll see. But let's start with verse 1 of Psalm 82.
God has taken his place in the divine council in the midst of the gods. He holds judgment.
Obviously, these divine counselors are not human beings. They are divine heavenly hosts. In the original Hebrew, the word Elohim is used twice in this first verse. Let's look at it that way.
Elohim has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the Elohim, he holds judgment.
So God is meeting with these little g gods, or Elohim, in the Hebrew. Okay, keep that in mind. And we read that he's not happy with them, as we'll see in verse 2.
How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked?
So we are seeing that these divine beings called Elohim, as bestowed unto them by God, now, however, they were about to be judged to eventually die, where before they were immortal beings.
That's a very big punishment.
And we know from other historical writings that these rebellious beings were letting the people worship them as well. So, continuing in verse 3 and 4, where we see God explaining what they were supposed to be doing.
Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked.
Obviously, there were wicked on the earth in those days too. As we gathered from the Tower of Babel debacle, and these particular Elohim were supposed to help the people see the truth and point to them to Yahweh, which is what we read in verses 5 and 6.
They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaking. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you.
In other words, you had the power to do them right and chose not to. So, here comes the punishment, verse 7.
Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince.
Now the writer Asaph closes his psalm with adoration to God.
Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations.
The millennial kingdom is coming. Now let me just say again that any time the Hebrew word ends in I-M, as in Elohim, is plural. And it means, of course, more than one. Now, Abba Father is three persons in one supreme being, so plural. The other Elohim, who obviously had free will, are of the lesser gods that Yahweh appointed to share responsibilities so they could feel useful, as he does with us. Yahweh created all the heavenly beings, therefore in the Old Testament, also called the Tanakh. Now, if you were a son of God, you resided in heaven. So the word Elohim, well, it's more of a description of residence. Now in the New Testament, the church is called sons of God because we are his new reborn creation and destined to be in his heavenly residence. 2 Corinthians 5:17. No humans except for Adam in the Old Testament were called the sons of God, only his first creations, as in Adam and those residing in heaven. So, do the Elohim have more authority than the other angels? Well, it seems so, but only because they are different classes of angels with different responsibilities. And we don't have all the answers to everything, and someday we will, but this is just kind of whetting our appetite for more information, which it should. So, we know that the sons of God were divine, rather than human, as some suggest, because we read in Job 38:4 that the sons of God witnessed the recreation in Genesis 1, verse 2. Now we see God speaking to Job. He was kind of chastising him a little bit. He says to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" See that? "And the sons of God shouted for joy." Obviously, the sons of God saw the recreation of earth before man was ever around. Again, that's in Genesis 1, verse 2. And I'm going to read Psalm 89, verses 5 through 8, really quick, but we'll go into it more next time because the topic is really amazing. But verses 5 through 7, it says, "And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of God? Now, in your Bible, it might say mighty ones, but it's basically in Hebrew, who among the sons of God can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held to reverence by all those around him." Okay, so that's why study is important. If we look up certain words, it can be very revealing. Oh, well, gosh, we're out of time already, and I truly hope you are enjoying digging deeper into God's Word. Because, my friends, there are things that are not seen to our eyes now, but one day will be. But in the meantime, educate yourselves because it's becoming extremely active in these days, the evil. There are many truths in His Word that if you dig, you will see for the very first time, even though it has been there all along. You do have power over the enemy, but you know, we often don't recognize when we need to use that power. Many often just slide by when they're reading their Bible, certain kind of thorny words in Scripture, you know, like divine counsel, sons of God, the watchers, Nephilim, even giants. So let us all desire to be challenged and be sure to share with others, for it is time for deeper knowledge. I promise you, you will be blessed, for it pleases Him. And isn't that what our new life in Jesus should be all about? Oh, and let me just say, it's okay if you disagree with any of my conclusions. My real calling, as 2 Peter 1:13 says, is to stir you up so that you will be a Berean of Acts 17:11, where they received the word with all readiness, but then searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether what they were being told were so. And that's what I expect that you will do as well. All right, let me just say, if you're out there listening, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, isn't it time? Or, are you sure He is Lord over your life? Be smart. Be sure. Invite Him into your heart right now. Now, if you are already saved, as I'm assuming many of you are that are listening, then how many have you told about God's saving grace lately? I know it's not easy, or it's getting harder to do that, but it's necessary. Let me leave you with the ironic blessing, number 622. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for our president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love Jerusalem, well, you're going to prosper in many different ways of your life. And, of course, that's Psalm 122, verse 6. Okay, shalom till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.